I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other.
When one is able to repeatedly step into the purity and heart and space of genuine and heightened awareness, miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of it to where the destination of such a path, when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And so welcome back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I am your host, Jobo Ayala Ayapanya, registered nurse veteran and the author of my new book, The Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart. Quantum Mindfulness Radio broadcasts every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Now, for tonight's topic of main focus, we will transition into deeper levels of discussion as we will delve into the world of the etheric and into the metaphysical of things through the significance and relevance of theta healing, hypnotherapy, past life regression, the paradigm shift of a new earth, the light worker, and star seeds. And so to talk about this subject matter in conversation about these intriguing and most profoundly enough and unheard of subject matter is my dear and wonderful friend, Miss Jen Clarfield. Jen Clarfield is an artist. She additionally possesses a passion towards creative storytelling and composition, and is a facilitator for the soul arts within her intuitive local Santa Fe community in New Mexico. She is a certified clinical hypnotherapist of over 20 years and is an inspiring practitioner of theta healing therapy. Now, she has trained under the close guidance of Dr. Brian Weiss through life regression training at the Crossing Spa in Austin, Texas, and under the current guise and direction of the inspiring and world-renowned Dolores Cannon on her intriguing techniques in past life regression. Additionally, she also possesses strong historical exposure to the realms of shamanism, heightening clairvoyance, divination, and the mastery of the ancient mystical arts. And so, Jen, dear friend, dear Jen Clarfield, I thank you for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Thank you, Joel. It's an honor. I'm excited to be here.
And it has been just a little over 2 years ago since we had last talked. And just the memories of what you had done for me during that extensive six-hour theta healing session just still continues to blow my mind. Now, for our listeners, just to provide for you the backstory to our interconnection here with Jen Clarfield from a few years back somehow, I had managed to get a hold of Miss Jen Clarfield here for just a few years ago by means of knowing and in conversing with one Facebook friend to the very next, and somehow I was able to connect with her. And I had been going through some struggles within my life during that particular period in 2012, and specific times were basically just halting my progression towards what particular goals I had set for myself. And I had chosen to make a goal of myself to finishing a Rite Aid full marathon, writing my book, and then traveling out to heightened and inspiring destinations such as Machu Picchu, Peru, and so forth. But clearly I was facing many, many blockages. But Jen's extensive work with me with theta healing back in 2012 once more, significantly cleared those blockages for me. I was able to cross the finish of that 26-mile race during that year, and I believe it was either May or June. And of course, I was able to publish my own book. And I was also so willing and able to complete my website and blog for the book as well. And during that year, which was such a huge struggle for me as well, was in dealing with the biggest obstacle of self-esteem and in acquiring the acknowledgement and in the awareness that I was well worthy and deserving of the abundance within my life and from the universe itself.
Well, that's so beautiful the way you've stated that, and it's always my honor. That's what I'm here for, and so it's always exciting for me to work with people like you, and it's an honor. I feel like all the people I get to work with are my teachers, so it's very exciting for me.
Now, Jen, but before we get into the details of theta healing, which is your expertise, I would just like to bring focus back on to you. And then going further back in time as to how everything had started for you. And in your own journey to this path of healing, healing others to their own truths for themselves, if you could just briefly skim through the waters of memory and to go through those landmark experiences within your own life that have brought you to this place of knowing, your place within this world per se, before even meeting Dr. Brian Weiss and then the world-renowned Dolores Cannon.
Absolutely. I think, one aspect of it is I've always been on the journey. I guess I just didn't always know it consciously. So one of the pivotal points for me was when I guess it was my early 20s, that I had some pain in my neck and shoulders. And so I had tried everything. I had tried yoga and physical therapy and all kinds of things, aspirin. Nothing seemed to get to the root of the pain, the chronic pain. And I was reading books back then, books by Dr. Brian Weiss and other, hypnotherapists. I was fascinated by the subject. And so I found a young man who was kind of a young rookie straight out of a kind of hypnotherapy called David Quigley's alchemical hypnotherapy. So I went to a rented office. He was borrowing another doctor's office, and we just sat in what was kind of the foyer, and I think I just sat on a very ordinary folding chair or something. In a session of about 45 minutes, he guided me back to the point when I was a teenager, and I had no idea with the conscious level of my mind the information that came forth, but the subconscious brought forth that brought me back, as he counted me down to the time right before the pain started, brought me to being a teenager and really feeling a lot of fear about what I'm here on the planet to do, and fear that nobody guided me towards it, because I grew up in a conventional family in the Midwest that was, into the regular choices, and that wasn't what I was here for.
Okay, and so from your own examination and observations of the very people that you have assisted in either theta healing or in past life regression, do you feel that fear within itself is the predominant blockage that most of us face that seems to clog and predominantly get within our paths towards our dreams and in our goals in life?
It's hard to articulate a little bit. I would say yes. I think from my giant overview, one thing I would say is, sometimes I say we wouldn't really have so many problems in the world if we all knew who we were, and yet that was part of the trick. That was part of the assignment, was to come into this dimension and forget who we are. When we use all these tools and we gather together and we do meditation or we a sacred sound healing or whatever it is, we start to come back and rediscover who we are. The tools of data healing, what we find using that work is that people run beliefs, what we call like bottom beliefs or anchor beliefs, these sort of core beliefs below the conscious mind. The conscious mind might be 5% or so, but that other 95% or so, that's where all the junk or the software is sort of rooted. And so in that software, we find limiting beliefs, like I'm not enough, I'm not good enough. Those are two of the most popular. Some people run the beliefs that say I'm nothing, or I don't know, I'm forgetting some of the great ones. There's one that's I don't know. A lot of people run these limiting bottom beliefs that just say I don't know. So we find that those sabotaging beliefs, we've come to find them on four different levels. And those levels are the core level from conception to the present moment. And then the genetic level, those are very popular, that have been passed down in the genetic lineages from both sides of the family. And then the history level can be further back genetic generation, or it can also include past lives. And even if someone had watched over others as a guide at some point in their history, they might pick up the limiting beliefs of the people they were guiding. So, and then there's also the soul level, and that's kind of the hard drive of the whole system. So in the theta healing, that's what we're doing. We're identifying those with a lot of help and from the creator or whatever, you know, the all that is from life, and then we're clearing those limiting beliefs from those four levels.
Now, with many of our, or actually your clients, Jen, and I know of predominantly the mindset or pre-inclination, which is the misnomer, that there is still a larger portion of the population that still believes that we only possess one life. And to some of these listeners, of whom may be passing through and accidentally brushing up against our conversation about past life regression, they themselves may be thinking from within their own mindset, what is this that I am listening to? What is this nonsense, per se, in past life regression? As they are clearly reacting to such information by way of fear.
One thing that fascinates me is the people who, I think every single teacher I've had a number of teachers who taught me the tools of how to facilitate past life regression. And what fascinated me is every single one of them they believed in what they were trained in through their tribe, through their, you know, religion, through their culture. And so, but Brian Weiss was a Jewish psychiatrist, and he stumbled into the past life when his client, who was a very conservative Catholic woman who worked at his hospital, she had phobias. So they kept using all the tools in his arsenal, and none of those helped her. Then when he used the regression, guided her back, and regressed her to find the source of the fear, then what happened was she regressed to a past life in ancient Egypt. And that's what some of the other teachers have found facilitators, when we say, you know, in the trance state, which is simply a focused state of attention, when we sit to guide someone, go back to the very first time this fear or problem or pain started, that when they're in that deeper consciousness, they're not limiting the choices to this life or another life. So even in the theta healing, sometimes when I'm doing that work, it's not really oriented to past lives. It's mostly oriented to solutions for this moment and this lifetime. But sometimes when we're doing any of this work, sometimes people will clear things from their childhood, and sometimes it's almost feel safer and easier when they regress to a memory from another lifetime. Then there's a rich, deep story, and they can say, "Oh, no wonder I'm afraid of heights. You know, I was thrown off that cliff or whatever it is. There's a place where I'm not sure it matters. I think when the transformation happens, it's happening and the primary focus is on the current life anyway. And I've even seen on Oprah once, there was a client of Brian Weiss's who appeared, or not a client, but she was on a show, and he regressed her 45 minutes. She went to the source of a fear. She had a fear of corners, like corners of countertops and things. She had it since she was two. So she regressed to a life where she was one Native, from one Native American tribe, another tribal member from the other tribe had killed her with an arrow. And so she was always afraid of corners. So when she experienced the healing and the regression, she lost. She healed from the phobia. But later, when they asked her, "Now, do you believe in past lives?" she said, "No, I don't think so. Well, I don't think it matters if people believe in them or not."
Now, to change focus with you per se, and I believe Dolores Cannon had experienced the same steps as well. She started initially with hypnotherapy in general, with the intentions of just clearing the mind subconsciously of additional unsustaining habits, and then rewiring the psyche for improving our behaviors and in our preconception to reacting negatively to our environments. But as when Dolores Cannon had begun to see and observe and to even witness for herself, more and more people were reporting under hypnosis the countless stories of increasing accounts of not just one, but in the hundreds to thousands of varying past lives being reported to her within the process of trying to relieve their addictions, their own negative approaches to life. From one session to the very next, of people living from their reports of living in Egyptian times, Greco-Romanian times, and even past Atlantean and Lemurian times, per se. And when I had heard that word Lemurian in particular, as it involves the issues within my case, being mentioned by you for the very first time in the Theta healing session that you had done for me 2 years back, I questioned what was within that particular phrase, within just that frequency of the conglomeration of words that were put together by you, Lemurian. From my own life, from within this life, I had never heard of this name or word stated within this connotation from within the words that you had used. But the deeper that we had gotten within the Theta healing session, as to within my case, the meaning of Lemuria started to become a much more of a part of my journey, and in the main reason of why I felt compelled to make manifest the pilgrimage trip out to Peru in September of that year, in 2012. And from that trip alone, I was able to make a connection between the historical genealogy between my last name and in the connection to the Incas, Maharlika, and in Lemuria itself. And as I began to research the prominence of such a belief, I began to discover that not only did I believe of this theory or assumption of things that just naturally came to my being, to my consciousness when I was essentially ready, but the kahunas of ancient Polynesia believe for this to be true. The Incas, the Peruvians, the Aborigines of Australia, the ancient tribes of the Philippines, Maharlika. Now, Jen, from your own personal accounts of what you had witnessed from the hundreds of past life regression therapy sessions that you have coordinated on your own, can you tell us, for the many listeners that I have tonight, of any other amazing and other fascinating accounts of these past lives from other personal client accounts?
Yes, well, when Dolores had uncovered, I'll come to my direct experiences or my experiences with my clients, but I'll just backtrack just a sentence or two, that Dolores Cannon, her husband learned hypnosis when he was stationed in the Navy over 40 years ago, and the first person that came to work with them for weight loss she went into 5 different past lives, and somehow they had some fancy recording equipment, and they recorded it all. And she's written a book about that was later in her career. She's written about 16 books, but one thing led to another, and so she, when she trained in in hypnosis, she was so fascinated by the healing potential of the past life regression that was most of her focus over the years. 25 years ago, she popped one of her clients popped open a memory beyond the earth plane. They remembered being in non-physical form and assisting creating making the atmosphere clean to make Earth inhabitable for life. And they say it was a pretty boring job, but they remembered that. And so then people began to remember lives beyond the Earth plane, and she's 25 years or more into all of that. She's written several books on that, and three of her books are called, or not now, they're at least 4, called The Convoluted Universe, books 1, 2, 3, and 4, and there's also a book called The Three Waves of Volunteers in the New Earth, which is sort of also part of that. And so what we found after I trained with Dr. Brian Weiss and I was facilitating some very deep and powerful, profound past life regressions, that we just bumped into Dolores Cannon, and, you know, through Amazon.com we started. I actually, my friend had one of the books that had an alien on the cover, and she didn't even know it was on her shelf, and I'd always looked at it. So I decided to order a bunch of books. I gifted some to my friend in Santa Fe, my friend Linda Starr, and I, bought myself a number of them, and we started reading the Convoluted Universe series, and when we did, we learned that the books were, like Dolores says, they shift people without even reading them, just having one on your shelf, and the friends I was associating with, I was meeting with, they believe, you know, already had beliefs open that we are not just from Earth. So 2 of those friends from that circle, 2 women, came to me and said, you know, I would love, that was before I trained with Dolores, they said, I'd love to do a regression, but I'm not interested in karma or past lives. That's boring to me. I want to know about my multi-dimensional self. I want to retrieve more of my healing gifts. You know, I want to know who I am before I came to planet Earth. And so I said, well, let's try it. Come on, let's do that. And so when I worked with the first couple of people before training with Dolores, they had some very profound experiences. And one went, it all kind of jumbles together in my mind unless I really pull it back to the conscious level. But one wanted to retrieve the healing energies, and she went to a life, and we did the process to take her through the steps to the end of the lifetime to see how the life ended and what happened and, you know, all of that. And when I did that with her and progressed her to the end, she said, oh, I don't see, you know, I'm not sensing there is an end to this lifetime. She said something like, I believe it seems like a multidimensional aspect of who I am, or however the wording was when she was in the middle of the experience. And so in that regression, she brought more of that, those healing gifts on a quantum scale that are part of who she is beyond this plane of existence. She was able to just bring them back and have them more integrated into her current life now.
Now for these specific gifts that we have potentially rediscovered in this life, and in this life alone, separate from our many, many past lives, for the many others of whom have been blessed upon this path, while some of the others have not just gotten it per se, have not acquired their ultimate potential and the gifts that they were always meant to conjure within this life, they are still searching. Now, this amnesia type of response, this reaction, is this the amnesia, this particular amnesia, all a part of a life lesson plan or treatment plan per se to a needed learning that we must resolve from one life to the very next. And then when we are to discover what was, and then when we are to progress onto the next stages of spirit, slowly accumulating the needed levels of learned archetypes to spiritual mastery. Is this the intonation or feeling that you can assess from these sessions?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I've heard, you know, and read, you know, that the Earth is called, what do they call that? The Earth School and all of that, and that we're here to learn lessons. And, you know, there are people who've written about, you know, our soul planning, you know, uncovered our, that we have these sort of meetings before we're incarnated, where we're like a soul planning meeting and all that. And, and so what was the point I was leading to? Well, what Dolores says on that is people ask for that all the time, and she laughs because her, you know, her information comes. She's not a channel per se. She is a, you know, she's just, she says she's like a gatherer of lost knowledge because she's regressed thousands upon thousands of people. So her books are transcripts of the regression. And what she says is that she says it wouldn't. What they tell her over and over again is it wouldn't be a test if we knew all the answers.
Now, Jen, with only a minute remaining from within the first segment of the show, can you be able to run through with our listeners your websites, email, blogs, and to any other contact information for our listeners?
Absolutely. So my website is www.trailblazingtransformation.com. I have a Facebook page that is just Trailblazing Transformation. That's on Facebook as well. My phone number is in Santa Fe, 505-660-5511, and I will give an alternative email than the one on my website that is genuine, but instead of a G, it's J, so it's J-E-N-U-I-N-E, indigo, I-N-D-I-G-O, and the number one at gmail.com.
And so when we return from our station identification break, we will be furthering our conversation and in our discussion on theta healing, hypnotherapy, and past life regression with my dear friend, Jen Clarfield, on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
BBSRadio.com, radio that transcends the third dimension. BBSRadio.com embraces the fourth dimension, promotes natural alternative health, spreads joy. BBSRadio.com, free energy, spirituality, honesty and truth. BBSRadio.com, increase the vibration of the people and the planet. BBSRadio.com.
The Book of Positive Light chronicles the story of one's life, his struggles, his defeat, and upon the likes of his own triumphs. How is one to know of one's light unless the one is to know truthfully of his or her own limitations within the darkness? The Book of Positive Light portrays and enshrines the alchemy of one's potentiality and surpassing the limitations and in conjuring the truth to one's capacity to create beyond the leaps and bounds of ultimate manifestation. Douglas Ross Hamilton, author of The Mystery of the Serpent Mound, exclaims, "The Book of Positive Light is a journeyman's guide to grasping the import of acquiring the inner light." Dr. Amelia Kemp, author of her own book, From Psychotherapy to Sacral Therapy, raves, "The Book of Positive Light honors the diversity of spiritual traditions and universal truths, as it graciously opens the author to self, as he is more than willing and more than able to teach and is willing to be taught. He uncovers the healer within." To purchase the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, you can visit the book's official website at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
And so, welcome back to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I have with me my very special guest once more on the second half of this show, conversing about this wonderful topic of theta healing and on past life regression. I have with me my dear friend, artist, writer, healer, hypnotherapist, and past life regression therapy practitioner, Miss Jen Clarfield. Thank you, Jen, for being with me tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Well, you're welcome, and there's one thing that just comes to mind to share with you and your audience that is kind of interesting is that the full name for the hypnotherapy through my training with Dolores Cannon is, as she calls it, Dolores Cannon Quantum Healing Hypnosis. So it's fitting that I'm on your show.
Yes, right, Jen. Yes. The common denominator with some of my guests from previous shows, between my experiences and their experiential accounts, and some kind of involvement with quantum mindfulness, quantum leaps, quantum relationships, quantum research, quantum healing, or some kind of quantum something that ties us all in together with research, wisdom, or experiences. And again, over our break and conversation, we talked about this phenomenon of what we put out there into the universe. We receive collaboratively back in return, and we attract the same type of energy and vibration that we put out there into this unified field. And Jen, again, just to reiterate the content of our deepened conversation over the break, and we had just covered so many different or differing realms and dimensions and conversation of our own experiences from the last 2 years since we had last talked in 2012, and I don't even have a single clue or an ounce of a thought as to where to begin, but I guess we could start at one end with your experiences with theta healing and the many wonderful stories that have been accruing within your interaction with so many of your specific clients, including your exposure to their accounts with past life regression. Now, in relationship to our conversation over the break, the earth plane, this momentary existence within this specific dimensional plane, it is more or less a destination that holds a special place in which many strong-willed and courageously held souls return to because of a dire need to evolve and to enhancing themselves in spirit. It is an educational playground or classroom of the universe, right? And you had mentioned it many times on over that it requires a very, very strong-willed spirit to come back to such a place because of the great amount of density and the amounts of resistance that is experienced once a soul or spirit returns to bodily form.
Yes, I don't even know if that is Dolores Cannon or who I'm quoting, but I hear that over and over again, that it's said in the higher realms that that we're some of the most courageous beings, the ones who have chosen to incarnate here. I've heard Brian Weiss, somebody, that was very interesting. I still remember some things that just stick years and years later. I still remember when I trained in 2007 with Dr. Brian Weiss in Austin, Texas, and somebody raised their hand and they had, you know, the question you hear over and over. They said, well, you know, something about it. They said, why did I have to get all of these young souls in my family? I mean, I'm such an old soul myself. And Dr. Brian Weiss had a brilliant response, and he said something like, you know, anybody who's incarnated on planet Earth at this time, he said, there's no such thing as a young soul here now. We're all very complex, old souls. You know, we're all very I don't know how, I would say high dimension, high vibrational, I don't know what his wording was, and he said, it's not so much that the others in your family are a young soul. He said, it's more like we're from different school systems. You know, we come in from different, you know, planetary systems or star systems. Your relatives might have come from a star system that was very oriented towards should. You know, it wasn't a place of free will or divine will. It was a place of, you know, hey, you do what this thing over and over, you do what you're supposed to do. Just think of them as they've transferred in from a school with very different lesson plan than your school.
It is extremely intriguing and interesting that you would describe that, Jen, in that specific way. And if that is true, and if that is most certainly the case, if free will did not reign in that existence, many souls would most certainly love to add Earth into their hodgepodge of spiritual experiences, into the mix of things, to their own individual journeys, to the heightening of spirit.
Yeah, that's what we talked about during the break.
And when we return to such a place like this, what is involved is the predominant existence of amnesia. Yes. And you emphasize this many times on over, that this is a requirement within this so-called classroom of Earth. Amnesia is required in order to learn. Yes. If we knew all the answers, let alone all of the experiences and lessons learned from past lives, we would never learn the full breadth of that pre-selected lesson entirely from the whole menu of choices. I think, and I do know, that I had written about this within my own pages of my book, The Book of Positive Light. And that is so true when comparing our own experiences with many of our clients and on the psychiatry unit, per se, and in observing their situations, their scenarios, their dilemmas, their individual diagnoses, their historical backgrounds, and even with the frequented flyers that return frequently from one end on end back to the unit, we all wish and possess that deepened desire to just give them all the answers and support, but you just can't. It is almost impossible. The very first step that is crucial within the process of enlightenment, and in change for that matter, is in the awareness and in the responsibility to taking that assertiveness and taking that stand to delivering truthfully from our inner beings what we were always meant. The evolution of consciousness on an individual basis comes in stages. And now to do so would be too tremendous and so overwhelming to accomplish such a feat. You would literally feel every single strenuous ordeal in the moment of suffering when climbing that difficult mountain.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
Now,
yeah.
From your own experiences with your clients,
yeah.
Jen, you may feel a great amount of compassion in taking every soul that comes your way for your help, to taking them under your wings with every single stride and step,
yeah.
As I do at times feel, and performing myself, and handing all of that knowledge, wisdom, and support to them. In my case, my patients, my clients, all the answers. The same holds true when you yourself had assisted me 2 years ago.
Well, thank
I expected
you.
an hour and a half session, but you took it to another great depths of realms of multidimensionality and extra length by going even further out to help me with my blockages. And I had a significant amount of blockages indeed. We went an additional 6 hours, and I felt so sorry about the tremendous amount of effort that you had to go through in order to accomplish what you needed to accomplish. And I thank you with the bottom of my heart for all that you have done for me within that single theta healing session. So Jen, if you could collaborate a little further for our audience members about our interaction from 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, we were talking a little bit of you had heard me interviewed on Maxine Taylor's radio show on Co-Creator Radio, where I told a story, and you said, listening to me give that interview, you said you told your wife and said, you know, hey, Tiff, this is me. She's talking about me, excited. And So there have been different times when I've worked with people in theta healing or in the regression where things have come up about our origins of, you know, who we really are beneath the surface of, you know, the amnesia of who we are left believing we are when we forget who we are. And so there were, I can't remember specifically the, when I'm doing that work, I tune in to the, you know, to creator of all that is, or whatever name you give, the all that is life, and I ask, creator of all that is, show me the limiting beliefs that are in place in so-and-so holding these limits or problems or this illness or disease or this addiction or whatever the problems are, what are the limiting beliefs that hold the blocks in place in so-and-so's life? And this work can be done on oneself too, but in doing that work, then I'm also later, you know, I'm shown the limiting beliefs and we pull and we clear those and there's a whole process and we kind of send them back to the light of creator to be recycled for the highest and best good of all. And then I also, if I had 10 people at an expo come to me and they all had the belief I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, when I'm asked to be shown the replacement, the empowering download to place in its place, I would get 10 totally different downloads for each person. And so when I was working with you and when I've worked with others, sometimes I get these downloads that are about our, you know, like our angelic nature. And so I remember that there was something, I can't remember the specific words, but it was kind of like some downloads that were encouraging to you of you to recognize and fully open and activate your, you know, like your angel wings on Earth, your Earth angel.
Right. Yes, I most certainly feel that resonating from you. And as a matter of fact, I thought that I had mentioned it to you at one point or in passing via email that I had a dream shortly after our session. And I didn't initially know the direction of this dream when I was partially conscious of the dream within itself. But then as the dream progressed even further, I heard a significant swell of a fluttering noise from behind me. And so I looked back right over my shoulder, and there were these extraordinarily silver and bronze colored wings that started to shake and just to vibrate, to promulgate from behind me, fluttering. I started then looking up and down, and before you knew it, I found myself in midair. And then I dropped to the earth and ground onto whatever was underneath me in dramatic fashion, like a comic book type of theatrical landing. And the first thought that came to mind was, I'm an angel? Earth angel? And then the second thought was, Jen, what did you do? For real? An earth and angel? and then the dream within itself, I just started laughing. It was such a significant and vibrant dream to me that I had to write about it within the book of Positive Light. And it's been a significant portion within the book that I loved writing about. Now, definitely your work was such a tremendous inspiration to the many pages within my book. And again, I thank you for clearing many of those blockages for me. And because of that, I was able to finish my first Write a Cleveland Marathon. I was able to open myself up in meeting the woman of my dreams, my dear wife, Tiffany. And I was able to scrounge up enough money to travel in pilgrimage to Machu Picchu, Peru. I published my book, and now I have my talk show that is just evolving within its own life. I find myself in almost disbelief every day. I now have a highly acclaimed talk show, yes, and my experiences from the last 2 years have been astounding since the release of those blockages. And you had mentioned it during the break that this book, the book of Positive Light, this memoir, this journal, wasn't just all about me. It is essentially all about setting the stage and perhaps attempting to being that specific example, the template, and allowing others to see the light from within themselves. So and that they too can be able to see the abundance and potentiality from within their own lives in collaboration, to enlighten and activate the journey from within the reader, who should so be willing and courageous to unlocking the riddle when from within themselves, when reading from amongst these very pages of the book, to opening the portals within the hearts when the reader should so become more than be willing and aware to acknowledging the potentiality that they too can possess in creation and in manifestation to thrive.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
And just to go a little bit off subject, you had made mention of your most recent of experiences with Sundance rituals from the past few days of Native American influence, where many different invitations of cultural fervor from the Lakota, the Navajo, and the many other people from many different walks of life that have been called in spirit to share such a journey or spirit walk as a community coming together as one. Now, in continuation from your experience and conversation with the most recent Sundance ritual, you describe participants who actively performed this ritual, and that each participant were essentially the journeymen who were chosen to engage in a spirit walk per se. Now, you, Jen, and along with many others who were invited to act as the watchers of the soul of the specific individual going through such an initiation, you and among the others were called to participate as a community. And now this comes to show in parallel and in philosophy that it takes a whole entire community to not only raise our children, but in also raising the consciousness of humanity to the next higher realms of existence. And in just having you being proactively involved in such a spiritual process from within the ceremony alone, along with the others as a community, and doing your part in raising heightened consciousness and in raising the vibrations and frequencies of things, we are all evolving into a higher stage of human evolution and into a state of unity consciousness. I just wish and wish with all of my heart that we can all experience this transition, that we can all experience the reward and cracking the code for each lesson learned, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, coming straight out of my my first Sundance, I was not an official Sundancer, but I was pretty blown away by how welcomed we were, and how included we were in the whole process from the beginning. I told you that I came home last night. I think I rolled in at about 3 a.m. after helping my friend clean the camper, and it was myself, and I think I was one of what became five women friends who came, and one of them was actually got married, many friends, countless friends, because there were others there, but two of our friends, man and woman, Pedro and Kirsten, who last name is Wing, actually, like the angel wings you just described. Yes, they got married during the ceremony, and or during the Sundance, rather. That was part of the Sundance. They did get married in the center, in the circle. And let's see. I mean, just to ground the story a little bit, I have she's my best friend in the world who lives right here. She's a woman from the Midwest, as I am from suburbs outside of Chicago, and we were introduced through a friend who's all the way from West Africa. They worked in a restaurant together, and her mother passed away right before I met her, and her parents had lived in South Dakota. They had had a cattle ranch there for years. So while they were there, they had friends who were medicine men. Son of one of those was just visiting with his family to their home last week, And so when her mother passed away, she was invited and chose to participate in the Sundance, and it was a commitment of four years, which started out with a vision quest and doing these things called prayer ties and making, you know, hundreds and hundreds of prayers for, you know, people in her family. And part of the process was to help her move through the grief of the loss of her mother, whom she loved very dearly.
Right.
So she did that commitment, and she's participated, you know, sometimes just as a supporter in the Sundance all these years that I've known her. And for 7 years, she's invited me. And anyway, the first time I ever even spent time with her, I went to her home, and I was what was called a guardian over the fire for 2 hours in the morning. But so, yeah, so I got to go, and that was my first sweat lodge. So, yeah, I was included. We took a camper, and we went all the way to Red Valley, Arizona, near Shiprock. And, I mean, just vast vistas of orange mesas, and it was quite exquisite. And Howard Badhand is the name of the man who's the Lakota man from Rosebud, who is the sort of one officiating the whole ceremony. And I don't know, it was very expansive, 4 or 5 days, and a lot went on. We were invited in, they pierced with eagle bone, and the men have piercings through their chest, and the women through the one arm or two arms, and they're attached to this tree that's transplanted into the center of the circle, and it's almost like a toroidal field of energy that's just very concentrated through the whole ceremony. There's a lot of chanting. They start before dawn, and they're going throughout most of the day, and we participated. We were taught how to carry the chinupa. This is the peace pipe everyone has. I mean, this is a pipe. Each one has the Lakota pipe. That all the dancers have their pipe in the circle, and it's brought out, and we were engaged to smoke the pipe and help their prayers, help kind of pass off their prayers to the powers that be, and so there were many magical experiences, and it just reminded me of, you know, I guess inside the circle is more like the spirit realm, and then outside the circle is more the human realm. And there was chanting and drumming, and it just reminded me that we are all never here doing what we're doing alone, that there's always support. So while we were supporting, we were being supported, and we even got to go into the center, and we asked for healing. My healing was less dramatic because I'm in a pretty strong place, but I asked for some healing to step into my full power and as a leader and an artist and a teacher and a facilitator and a healer and everything. And so I still haven't learned how I'm going to explain it to my family yet. But I guess I would. My mind is kind of bouncing back to a couple of the key moments, and there were at least two moments where I was just absolutely moved to tears. And one of the moments was when I got to stand in the area where the actual dancers, it's like, you know, the Hogan, the Hogan or the area behind the Hogan is where they gather when they're not out in the circle dancing. And at one point, a woman found her way back there. She was invited back there, and she was a Navajo woman who had been there the previous year. And she had mistook my friend and I. She was looking for the dancers who were there last year. And so it was very fun because she asked, you know, were you the dancers who were here last year? And she told us the story of her miraculous healing, and she had been very ill, and she was down to maybe 100 pounds, and she was she had health severe health issues. Her doctor was seeing her and trying to treat her for it. And then she also admitted she was very, you know, struggling with depression. She was she just had kind of a chronic depression, and that she felt a lot of illness was coming growing out of the depression. And so she explained to us that after this healing, she had she came back to her full health, and she had brought a number of boxes of jewelry, of earrings, beautiful beaded earrings, to give like a giveaway to celebrate the people who had helped her receive the healing. She even had a story that there was one point where a cloud, she said it was like a single cloud, and it came right over her, and it hailed on her, and no one else. It just hailed on her, and then it went away. I thought that was the wildest story, and so I'm just such a connector by nature that I started, you know, when some of the real dancers came by, I said, excuse me, and I just connected them, and there was an amazing woman, her name was Elizabeth, and she really blew us away, and there was something extra about her powers and strengths that we felt. We had all participated in a healing that all the healers came around, and we all later said, didn't you get an extra pow when, you know, the certain woman came by? We said, yeah. So I was the one who got to, now I have the chills again, the full body chills. So I just connected them, and I got to witness. I got to just stand there while the woman told her story of healing, and the woman who was dancing acknowledged it. And I was just moved. I was just moved to tears, getting to be there witness that. Later, the women came through a line, and we all, it was like a wedding receiving line at a wedding where everyone who was on the inside, the dancers came and shook, and we all said thank you. We all just kind of looked in each other's eyes, and there were a handful. There were about three women that I just felt like I'd known them. You know, it was just there was something beyond words, like something deeper. And one stood and just stared into my eyes for an extra long time. And my mind doesn't know why, but the deeper part of me understands. And the woman who I had that interaction with came by again, and kind of, it was a few of them that just felt like they were saying, we recognize you, and we see you, and we see your powers. And the tears just started.
And Jen, I only sense the good things and the beautiful things for you to come from your work. I just sense this energy sort of like a sleeping giant that is just ever so more complacently and peacefully awaiting and furthered growth as you are actively absorbing the energies from all around you, patiently sitting there with total awareness. But once the time is right, and as once you have reached enough momentum, and once you had reached that critical mass per se, then people will know that you will be there to stand and greet every soul, not only in allowing for them to see who is standing before them, but in allowing them to see for themselves in full awareness from within the many, many souls that you have helped in tandem, of whom have come across your way and cracking the code for each lesson learned, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And this is exactly what you have done for me, Jen. And I attribute many of my successes to the many planes of abundance from what I have experienced to the opening of doorways, which have allowed for me to open myself to the potentialities of things. Not for you, per se, to open these specific doors, but in allowing for me, myself, to acknowledge the possibilities and opening the doorway to truth. And so, Jen, as we come down to the very last minute and segment of this show, once more, please provide us with any additional contact information, websites, blogs, up-and-coming events, workshops, projects, any books that are within your heart that you truly want to write, which may all come along our way within the next few months to come.
My practice has the name Trailblazing Transformation. And then my website is that name, trailblazingtransformation.com. I have a Trailblazing Transformation on a page on Facebook as well. I also have a blog with under the name JENUINE, Indigo, INDIGO, number one, .blogspot.com. And I don't have anything formal that is planned right now. I just came out of teaching kids art, assisting teaching kids art, and I had one day to split with my friend of teaching kids portrait painting. And so I have a lot of aspirations that include teaching theta healing and also some things that combine both my art and the other spiritual tools making pieces of art that center around tuning into somebody's energy field and connecting with the angels through the creator and all of that, and telling them what I find and see, and then making art around that. So that's kind of one of my next steps, to do more with my writing. And I'm looking into taking the training with Tom Bird to get a book published like you. And the last thing I just that is exciting is that I just was thinking it, not saying it out loud, but it's each person that comes to work with me, you know, I have as much to learn from them as they, you know, have to gain from the process.
Oh,
and so I'm very inspired that you have, you know, manifested a lot of things that I'm still eager to manifest. So I'm very excited to keep going.
Again, Jen, thank you for your work and in all that you do.
Well, thank you.
And I bless you to the limitlessness of time, dear friend. And I thank you for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. This show, or any other previous broadcasts, please visit us at Quantum Mindfulness Radio's official website at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. All previous and prior broadcasts are archived at the BBS Radio Network. Please join us every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Again, I thank you once more for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.